This is the Talk of Fame Network on SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Clark Judge, Rick Goslin, and Ron Borges.
Most of you watch the NFL on Sunday, and I presume a lot of you watch the NFL Red Zone. I know I do. In fact, I never miss it. And Goose, I think you don't miss it too, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, my wife will tell me sometimes to turn on the Giants, and I always say, why should I turn on the Giants when I can watch every game at once? It's unreal. It's 7 hours around-the-clock coverage, and it's orchestrated by our next guest. That would be NFL Network's Scott Hansen. Now, Scott joins us today from L.A., and Scott, first things first, how did you get this job, and what did you think when they first told you exactly what it would entail?
Yeah, well, first of all, Clark, Rick, Ron, good to be with you guys. And I'll take those questions in inverse order if I can, because I heard, this is our 10th season, and I heard 10 summers ago that NFL Network was going to start this NFL Red Zone channel. And it was going to be, you know, whip around and have all the games and everything. And I just pictured it in my mind's eye, and I said, man, if this thing gets produced right, it's absolutely going to crush it. It's going to be a hit because I'd be the guy. We've all covered the game for years, right? And I was a roving reporter for NFL Network before I got the hosting role for NFL Red Zone. So they would send me to wherever, Foxborough or Soldier Field or wherever, and I'd be in the press box, and I'd be watching the live game on the field in front of me, but I'd have my laptop open, and I'd be the guy on press row who'd be elbowing the people next to me saying, yeah, we're watching the Patriots right here, but Brett Favre just threw his fourth touchdown at Lambeau Field. Oh, yeah, I know we're watching this game right now, but Tony Romo's on a fourth quarter comeback right now. And I always felt like, why couldn't there be something where you could take people, bang, here's where the hot action is, here's where it's going on right now, and get it live. So I, when I first heard that it was coming up, I called up one of our talent coordinators, a guy by the name of Jamie Heeman, and I said, hey, Jamie, I said, is it true that we're starting up NFL Red Zone? He said, yeah. I said, who you got to host it? He says, well, we're looking around. I said, is my name on the list? And he goes, yeah, your name's on the list. They had already kind of discovered, I guess, my enthusiasm and energy. And the rest of the story goes like this. They brought me in for an audition. Now, the audition for television, traditionally an audition for television, is 10 minutes long. They put you up on a set, and they want to see how you look and how you sound. The NFL Red Zone audition, because it's a seven-hour show with no commercials, they wanted to test out stamina for the candidates. We did a five-hour nonstop audition. I flop sweated through a suit in the middle of summer and didn't know what was coming next, because what they did was they just took random games from the year prior and just basically queued them up to the kickoff and hit play on eight different machines at the same time and said, talk. And I guess I did well enough that they said, you know what, Hansen, you're our guy, and here we are 10 years later.
No, they made the right choice. Let me ask you this, Scott. What were you like as a kid? I mean, you were a talkative kid. Were you a sports geek? Did you ever get in trouble in class? Did you ever have a fear of public speaking? Did you have that energy as a kid? What were you like?
That's interesting. I've done a lot of these type of interviews. I've never been asked that question, but I got a funny story for you. I was the talker. I mean, imagine that. I was the talker in class. In fact, there's kind of an infamous story in my family where in fourth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Wright, actually Mrs. Rue was my teacher in fourth grade, but I talked so much and they tried to discipline me. They tried to do everything they could to stop me from talking with my classmates. They said, our last resort is this. We're going to move Scott's desk to the corner of the classroom, the back corner. And the only person we're going to put next to him is Danielle Wright. Now, Danielle Wright was the girl in my class who never said three words a semester, right? The super, super introverted, shy kid in the class. By the end of that semester, Danielle Wright was getting conduct reports sent home to her parents because I had perverted her. I twisted her. I corrupted her, whatever you want to say. But, yeah, I love to have a good time, and I love to talk about whatever was on my mind. I love to talk about it back then. And the other little aspect about my life that my mom reminds me of is when I was a little kid, I used to watch, and I grew up, I mean, I'm in my 40s here, so I grew up with ABC, NBC, and CBS, right? Those were your choices for television. And there'd be a game on CBS and a game on NBC. They used to have the NFC and AFC packages respectively. So I would put the living room TV on the CBS game, and I would drag my dad's television from the den into the living room, put a long, you know, long cable there to bring it out, and I would watch two games simultaneously. And then I grew up in the Detroit area. If the Lions game was going on, I'd put the Lions game on the radio. So I would multitask as a little kid. So my mom says, Scott, you were born to do what you do now on NFL Red Zone.
Wow. She was right.
Scott, give me the logistics. How many monitors are there in the studio, and how big are they?
Yeah, okay, so I stand. You guys, when you watch NFL Red Zone, you see me behind the desk, and it's all a slick production with a green screen background and all that. But that's a little bit of Hollywood action right there, because I only stand there at the beginning and the end of the show. As soon as I go off camera, I walk around the front of the desk, and there is a wall of monitors. I stand about 3 feet, 2-3 feet away from a wall of monitors for the better part of the 7 hours. And they're divided up. They're like 60-inch screens divided up into however many boxes that we need. If we've got 9 games on, they put it into like a Brady Bunch, you know, quadrant of 9 games. And I sit there and watch all of those. And then I have a researcher and a spotter sitting immediately next to me with laptops open in case, whatever, Cam Newton throws an interception and I don't know who number 22 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is. They can get me that guy's name and information real quick. And then it's just rock and roll. I put my earpiece in, my producer's talking in my ear, and we bounce our eyes around 8-9 monitors for all those hours and basically ask this question. If I was a neutral fan and I didn't care about any one particular favorite team, and I was looking at this wall of monitors, where would my eyes land? And wherever that answer is where we try and take our audience at any given time.
Wow. Scott, I'm wondering, as I'm listening to you talk about this, do you understand that like NFL running backs, the life expectancy for your job is probably a lot shorter than it is for a punter or a weatherman in your case? I mean, how long can you do something like this?
Do you know who else agrees with you? Because, yeah, it is. It's like I've often wondered, okay, could I really sit in this seat for this long? Because the energy, enthusiasm, knowledge of the game, and stamina, and then, quite frankly, bladder integrity.
Exactly.
The demands of the job. So I was saying, you know who else agrees with you? I was getting ready to do an interview with Roger Goodell. He was out here at NFL Studios in Los Angeles a handful of seasons ago. And like everyone else, he watches NFL Red Zone when he's not at an individual game. Of course, he's the commissioner. He's got to keep an eye on everything, so he'll watch NFL Red Zone. So he comes, and he's like, Scott, I got a question. We were in the makeup room. We were getting ready to do the interview, and we're in the makeup room, and, you know, getting our makeup on. He's like, Scott, I got to ask you. He's like, how do you do it? How do you stay strong for 7 hours? I'm like, well, Roger, I just, you know, I value my profession more than I do my own physical limitations. And he looks at me, and he goes, Scott, you ain't going to be able to do this job into your 60s.
Exactly right.
He goes, take it from me. And I knew exactly to what he was referring. And I said, Roger, I can only hope that medical science catches up with the male physiology by then.
Exactly.
We had a pretty good laugh over that.
There's a moment when that'll be it.
Scott, how much prep work do you have to do for a week of football?
Oh, I'm sitting here doing this interview right now with a stack of papers in front of me. On Tuesday night, we have the best research department in the business for my money. NFL Network researchers are just phenomenal. They're grinding since the last game. Since the Sunday games end, and then the Sunday night game and the Monday night game end, they put together about a 200-page packet every week that kind of puts a button on last week's game and look ahead to this weekend's games. I'll get that emailed to me on Tuesday night. Then I start looking through that on Wednesday. On Thursday, I do my own spreadsheets. I like to, like a chef, I don't want to just oversee other people cooking the dishes. I like to put my fingers in the dough myself. So I do my own spreadsheets with quarterback stats, kicker stats, touchdown stats, offense, team defense, turnovers, things like that. And I put them together. I've been doing it for years, and it gives me a general overview of, okay, who's really performing well? What are trends? What are some milestones that we could be looking at for the games coming up? It's a little bit like this to prep. If you go back to your college days and you had a professor who said, okay, final exam is on Friday. It's an essay exam. Here's a list of 10 essay questions. Three of them are going to be on the final exam. Well, which three do you study? If you're a diligent student, you study all 10 of them. And it's sort of like that with me. I've got 8 games in the early window this upcoming Sunday. I've got 5 games in the late window. I'll be dealing with 13 games. I don't know which one's going to have the fantastic finish. I don't know which one's going to have the controversial coaching decision. I don't know which one's going to have the quarterback throw for 5 touchdowns being his career high. But one of them or two of them or three of them are going to have that. So I try and prepare for all of them and then jump on the surfboard and let the waves ride me in. And we see what happens on Sunday.
Scott, quick question. We've got 20 seconds. What's the first thing you do when it's 8:01 Eastern and you finally get to kick back from 7 hours of coverage?
As soon as the show ends, I pop out my earpiece, and this is not being melodramatic here, guys. I pop out my earpiece, and I have to steady myself on the desk, literally because I've had stimulation in my left ear for 7 straight hours, game broadcast, my producer, the graphics, the director, everything going, going, going. It's almost dizzying to go to a silent room afterwards. Then I might just go down the hallway, take a trip to the men's room, jump in my car, go home, and I'm a junkie. I plop myself on the couch, grab some food and a beverage, and I watch Sunday Night Football because I don't want to miss anything in any game. You are literally talking to one of the guys who says he watches. There have been about 190 games so far this year. I've watched every one of them so far.
Wow. Wow.
Scott, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for the energy. And guaranteed, we'll be watching Sunday. We will.
Oh, I love it, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate the support. And for all your listeners, we'll see you on Sunday for 7 hours of commercial-free football. Take care, guys.
There you go. Thank you. That was the NFL Network's Scott Anson. Up next, it's former defense coordinator Tom Bass. You're listening to the Talk of Fame Network.